Today, The Nolan Show has more new information, which raises new questions about the Renewable Heat Incentive Scheme and the DUP. All along, one of the big questions has been, why were there delays in introducing cost controls to the badly flawed scheme, which could cost Northern Ireland somewhere in the region of £500 million? What we're about to do now is reveal what the DUP has known for some time, namely that one of Stormont's most senior civil servants believes that a DUP special advisor was in some way involved in the delay. Up until now, it has been the former DUP minister, Jonathan Bell, making claims that a special advisor may have played a part in keeping the uncapped RHI scheme open. But after questions from The Nolan Show, the DUP have now stated that Dr. Andrew McCormick, the permanent secretary in the Department of the Economy, believed a DUP special advisor advised or exerted influence to keep the uncapped part of the scheme open during a crucial period in 2015. So this is the DUP now confirming that Dr. McCormick told the party, the DUP, of his belief. Let's try to walk through this for you. Following our specific questions, here's what the DUP is now, today, for the first time, revealing publicly in a statement to The Nolan Show. We've got our producer to voice up their statement.
Prior to the 15th of December, when the BBC broadcast allegations of the involvement of DUP special advisers in preventing the introduction of cost controls for the non-domestic RHI scheme, Dr. McCormick had not informed us of the name of any DUP special adviser that he believed to be seeking to offer advice or exert influence over the matter. Since the allegations aired on the 15th of December, Dr. McCormick has subsequently informed us that it was his understanding that a DUP special advisor, who was not the then Deputy Special Advisor, was involved in the summer of 2015, but that he had no evidence to substantiate this.
So, 1 month on from Jonathan Bell's claims, and because we specifically asked, the DUP has now revealed that Dr. McCormick, who, as we've mentioned, is one of Stormont's most senior civil servants, did subsequently tell them that he believed a DUP special advisor exerted influence, although he does make clear that he has no evidence of that. We will be getting political reaction to this story this morning. It does raise important questions. Why did Andrew McCormick believe it? And remember, he also believed it to such an extent that he subsequently told the current Economy Minister, Simon Hamilton, as well as his special advisor, John Robinson. Let's get immediate reaction to this breaking story from the newsletter's Sam McBride. Seems every day, Sam, that new information is dripping out, and this is new.
That's right, Stephen, and I think the significance of this is twofold. First of all, that it comes from someone who is so senior in the civil service, someone who at the moment is being considered to take over as the head of the civil service. He's one of two finalists who are through to be decided for that post. These people, in terms of senior civil servants, are not given to making wild allegations, certainly not in a way that they might become public. And these are inherently cautious people, in my experience. They are not the sorts of people, I suppose, with Jonathan Bell speaking out in the chamber when he spoke out in your interview, some people will look at that as a politician saying something. I think it's much more significant when a senior civil servant says something of this nature.
Just a bit of housekeeping here. Let's remember, because this is important, that all the special advisers who could have been involved have denied any involvement in instructing the minister to make any changes against his wishes. As for Andrew McCormick, he's an independent civil servant and he can only speak publicly if he has the freedom to do so, and that freedom is given to him by his minister, who is currently Simon Hamilton. It'll be interesting what the public reaction is to this, and it's only a matter of time to more pressure is put on, I guess, Simon Hamilton to allow Andrew McCormick to speak freely, Sam.
I think so, and that is something which I think would have happened probably quite soon had the Assembly stayed in situ, because it has now it is now headed towards collapse next week. The Public Accounts Committee, where he would have been called back to give further evidence will no longer be in place. There is obviously now no public inquiry in place. So at some point, he is certainly going to be in a position where he will have to give evidence, probably under oath, about this. But that has been pushed back and may not be before the election. I think one other aspect of this, which is very significant, is that throughout this entire debacle, one of the absolutely glaring failures of the entire Stormont edifice is that no one has been held to account for this. Arlene Foster blames, who was the minister who set up the scheme, she blames her officials. The officials accept some sort of blame, but no one has been disciplined. No one has lost their job. Some people have been promoted. Spads have remained in post. And I think that is the thing which is particularly damaging, not just for the DUP here, but for the entire system of government which we have. It has seemed incapable of holding itself to account, even at the point where there have now been weeks and weeks of really incredible public fury at what has gone on.
And I think some of the people who you've referred to there, be it the DUP or be it people like Andrew McCormick, civil servants, I think they would say that there is an investigation, an internal inquiry, and they need to look through that and take their time, and then disciplinary action may happen if it is the right thing to do after they have all the information in front of them. Here's what I want to do next, and we will be getting political reaction to this today. What I also want to do, Sam, is just step through and remind everybody what Arlene Foster said when she went to the Assembly a month ago on the 19th of December. She said in this speech that she had conducted an investigation. And the question that we don't know and that we're currently asking the DUP an answer to is, what did Arlene Foster know at this time? Now, in the interest of fairness and transparency from this programme, we have only put this question in to the DUP this morning, so we will wait for a reply from them. But what this does do is it raises interesting questions about when did Andrew McCormick pass the information on to the DUP, and when did Simon Hamilton pass that information on to Arlene Foster? Listen to how she addresses the issue of SPADs. Have a listen to this.
Now, I understand from Minister Hamilton that the Permanent Secretary recalls being told at the time that some in the party wanted the scheme kept open. He was unaware of the source of this suggestion, but believes it may have been based on the erroneous but widespread view at the time that because the scheme was AMI-funded, that it was possible to maximise take-up without creating a problem.
I understand, she said from Minister Hamilton, that the Permanent Secretary recalls being told at the time that some in the party wanted the scheme kept open. Who in the party? And then note that in the very next paragraph of her speech, how Arlene Foster rules out ministers.
I have checked and confirmed that no minister made any such request or took any interest in the decision taken in September 2015.
So that's ministers ruled out. Then she rules out party officers.
The DUP party officers took no interest in this issue and give no instructions.
So that's the party officers ruled out. But curiously, DUP special advisers are not included in this section. And then Arlene Foster concludes.
It is therefore clear that whatever the belief, the DUP did not ask the Deputy Minister to extend the scheme.
Sam McBride, we will need to know what she knew and what she didn't know at that time. And to be fair, we don't know yet. We're waiting for a response from the DUP.
That's right. I remember that speech very well. I think I was on your programme at the time, and that bit was the bit that jumped out at me. I thought it was setting up the potential for the DUP perhaps arguing if there were further revelations that someone had been a rogue SPAD, someone had not been acting with authorisation, someone certainly hadn't been endorsed by the party officers. There were all sorts of hoops that were jumped through there, and it was very much presented that something might have happened, but certainly it was not authorised. I think that the difficulty for the party is that special advisers have a very unique set of accountability structures where they are very firmly tied to the minister, and the minister is wholly responsible for the actions of their SPAD. They're almost an extension of their body within the department. They are appointed outside any sort of fair employment process. They are paid very high salaries in the region of £80,000-£90,000 a year on the proviso that they are expert advisers, that the minister has to have them there. They're trusted aides. They're personally handpicked. So it's not really possible, I think, for the party to ultimately turn around and say someone was doing something and it wasn't authorised. Even if it was the case that it wasn't authorised, someone within the party, I think, will face very difficult questions about that at a very senior level, because these are not junior party members. These are among the most senior people in the Stormont system, certainly on the political side of it.
Stay there, Sam. Let's speak to the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Mike Nesbitt, about this. So what we're revealing this morning, Mike, is that the DUP were told by Andrew McCormick, the Permanent Secretary, that he believed there was DUP SPAD influence?
I'm not surprised, Stephen. I agree with Sam. Somebody like Dr. McCormick, a senior civil servant, is extremely cautious, but they also cover themselves. And if they believe something is wrong, they will investigate it, and they will then lay down a paper trail to make that they and the civil service and the integrity of the civil service is covered. If you check yesterday's Hansard, you will see in the debate on renewable heat that Edwin Poots made two statements, and certainly in the first, he gave the list of people, starting with the minister, then going on to senior civil servants, energy experts who'd been brought in to advise the scrutiny committee and the assembly, who all missed the fatal flaw. If you go back over contributions to your programme by people like Edwin Poots and Gregory Campbell, they give you the same list. It wasn't just the minister. The senior civil servants missed it. The experts missed it. The Assembly Scrutiny Committee missed it. They never mention the special advisers. And the question is that because the special advisers did not miss it, they saw it, and they exploited it?
Well, now, hold on one second, because we would certainly distance ourselves from having any evidence to uphold what
I
you have just
only,
said.
I am not accusing.
Well,
I'm not accused, Stephen. We're on the right side of the law. Trust me.
Well,
I know the law.
Okay. Well, I'll trust my let me trust my judgment too, and say, because it's important to do so, that all of the special advisers who could have been involved in influencing this decision, have emphatically declared that they did not instruct the minister to keep that scheme open, nor did any involvement from them arise from that happening. They have all emphatically denied that. Here's the key question. Naomi Long joining us now, leader of the Alliance Party. Good morning to you, Naomi.
Good morning, Stephen.
There is a straight, fundamental question for society now. If the DUP is now confirming that Andrew McCormick, remember his importance, he's an independent civil servant, someone of the utmost integrity, who the DUP have confirmed they believe in his integrity. If he has told the DUP, and he has, because the DUP's confirmed it, that he believed a DUP special advisor was involved in exerting influence, the question is, what name did he give them? Who did he tell them he believed it was?
Well, I think that is only one question that needs to be answered as a result of what you have uncovered this morning, Stephen. As Sam McBride indicated, the special advisers hold a very particular responsibility within departments. They are handpicked by the minister. It's not an open application process. This is something where the minister has complete discretion. They choose their special advisor, who is there to give them political assistance and to act on the minister's behalf within the department. And when the special advisor is acting, they can't do anything without the minister's authority. And if they do, it is still the minister's responsibility. So if any special advisor was acting to keep the scheme open, it is the equivalent of the minister having done so, because they have no authority beyond that which the minister grants them. So that is a very serious question, because if we determine which special advisor it was, which minister they were answerable to, then that minister has to take responsibility for that. There can be no shirking of that, because they handpick those people, and they should handpick people who have integrity, who are responsible, and who only act on their behalf. And if they go rogue, the minister is still responsible for having handpicked that individual.
Well, it is. I'm just learning this now, actually. It's my understanding, it's the BBC's understanding, that Andrew McCormick is to go in front of the PAC committee this afternoon. So will Andrew McCormick tell the PAC, the Public Accounts Committee, this afternoon who he believed the special advisor was? This afternoon could be a very interesting day.
Absolutely. And I think that what we have seen over the last couple of days, Stephen, is a drip feed of information around special advisors in particular about potential conflicts of interest and alleged conflicts of interest that they may have had around this scheme. We now have an allegation that a special advisor may have been acting to try to interfere or bring influence over this scheme. Now, those are serious allegations. In fact, they are so serious.
It's a belief of Andrew McCormick, but he does say that he did not have any evidence, but it was his belief. Well, you know, I just wish, and I'm not criticising Dr. McCormick here, because I will stress again that he can only speak if he has the permission of his minister to do so. And I have asked for Dr. McCormick to be permitted to speak openly and freely to the public through the Nolan Show, and I will put that request publicly again to Simon Hamilton. Will he please allow Dr. McCormick to speak publicly and freely to the public through this programme? And remember, and I'll let you come back here, Naomi, right now, and you, Mike Nesbitt, but remember what all of the special advisers who could have been involved in this are saying. They are saying that at no point did they seek or did they achieve influencing the delay of the cost controls into the scheme against the wishes of the minister being Jonathan Bell at that time. Go ahead, Naomi.
Well, I think that the crucial issue is that if that perception existed within the civil service, and if it existed to the degree where a civil servant was willing to raise that concern about the behaviour of a special advisor, that is in itself quite significant, because it is essentially warning a minister that a hand-picked member of staff who acts as a civil servant but is hand-picked by the party and by the minister is behaving, if you like, out with their duties and responsibilities. Now, that is hugely significant in terms of the integrity of office and in terms of lines of responsibility. But there is also the wider issue, Stephen, that I raised, and that is about the leaking of information into the public domain on this. And it is having an amazingly corrosive effect on public confidence in the whole issue. We have never been more certain that a full, independent public inquiry is now required.
We need to get to the bottom
of this, because there is potential in these allegations that goes way beyond simple incompetence that could potentially be indicative that there was manipulation of serious matters in government by people who had conflicts of interest.
That's hugely important. Mike Nesbitt, let me just share with you the specific question that we asked the DUP, the DUP's Simon Hamilton, and indeed the DUP's John Robinson. Simon Hamilton is obviously a minister in government. John Robinson is now a special advisor. He's a former director of communications in the DUP. And we asked Simon Hamilton and John Robinson the following question. Did Andrew McCormick tell you that a DUP special advisor had advised or influenced that the lucrative part of the RHI scheme be kept open? And both Simon Hamilton and John Robinson replied in the following manner to the Nolan Show. Prior to the 15th of December, when the BBC broadcast allegations of the involvement of DUP special advisors in preventing the introduction of cost controls for the non-domestic RHI scheme, Dr. McCormick had not informed us of the name of any DUP special advisor that he believed to be seeking to offer advice or exert influence over the matter. Now, the first thing that I would notice there is that we didn't ask them. We did not ask them if he told them a name. We asked them if Dr. McCormick had told them a DUP special advisor had advised or influenced. So they have denied that a name was given, but they have not answered our question if Dr. McCormick said a special advisor. In other words, he could have told them, and it's our understanding that he did tell them, that a DUP special advisor had done this, but John Robinson and Simon Hamilton choosing to reply that they were not giving a name. They then continue, since the allegations aired on the 15th of December, Dr. McCormick has subsequently informed us that it was his understanding that a DUP special advisor was not the, who was not the then Deti special advisor, was involved in the summer of 2015, but that they had no evidence to substantiate this. And the reason that's relevant, we asked them, did Andrew McCormick provide a name as to who this DUP SPAD might be? What do you read into that, Mike?
Well, that's the way the DUP operates, Stephen. Look at the history. Look back to the dying days of Peter Robinson's leadership and that in-out ministerial hokey-cokey. They are very, very clever at reading the rules and manipulating them for their effect. And they're very, very clever at answering questions in a way that tries to deflect from your purpose. And you've identified that. You know, when I got the leadership of the Ulster Unionist Party, I wanted to understand how the DUP had usurped us to become the biggest party. And I went to Peter Robinson, and he very kindly allowed me into their engine room so I could see how the DUP works. And it does not work with the elected representatives making the decisions. I sat in his office, the First Minister's office, in Parliament buildings. I sat in the First Minister's suite of offices in Stormont Castle with Peter Robinson and with special advisors, not with elected politicians, with Peter Robinson and special advisors. They run the show. The Ulster Unionist Party do not operate that way. And let me be clear, Stephen, and I think this is important because I'm sure somebody will throw this up. Sir Reg Empey had a special advisor who misbehaved, who abused in a most awful way his position of power and influence. Sir Reg sacked him. Straight red card. No issue. These special advisors are unelected and incredibly powerful within the Democratic Unionist Party.
Well, John O'Dowd from Sinn Féin joining us this morning. John, sorry for keeping you today. What is your reaction to this information this morning that the DUP have now known for some time that Andrew McCormick told them? So it's not Jonathan Bell's claim. Andrew McCormick told the DUP this story that we're revealing this morning.
What goes to the heart of this issue is concerns on genuine public concerns and concerns elsewhere that we're dealing with potential financial corruption at the heart of government.
We are not suggesting any corruption involved in this story we're revealing this morning.
I'm very careful in the use of my language, Stephen. Potential financial corruption at the heart of government. And that's what where the public concern has been on this issue, and that's where our concern has been on this issue for a considerable period of time. It has brought down the institutions of government. It has broken the trust that was in government. And what we need to do now, immediately, what we need to do, and Simon Hamilton, you already said this, Dr. Andrew McCormick should be allowed to make a public statement without interference or control from Simon Hamilton. And Dr. Andrew McCormick should be able to set out all he knows in relation to this issue and any information he has which will assist the public in coming to having the information necessary to come to conclusions in regards to this matter. But what we need to move to is a judge-led investigation into this issue, time-bound, with compellability powers to ensure that the full facts are established, that all the papers are brought forward, that the civil service, the political players in this, the SPADs in this, are all brought before that judge-led investigation to make statements under oath to ensure the truth is found.
And of course that may reveal more information, but Mike Nesbitt, this afternoon, I believe Robin Swan is the chair of the PAC committee. Will he be asking Andrew McCormick who is the special advisor that he believed exerted influence? Who's the special advisor who he told the DUP he believed he exerted influence?
He will, Stephen. And, you know, I'm listening to John O'Dowd call for Dr. McCormick to be able to speak without any influence from his minister. That is exactly what he should be doing in front of the Public Accounts Committee. And I heard you saying you want Simon Hamilton to say Dr. McCormick can come on the Nolan Show, and that is fair enough. But certainly the primary and the first place Dr. McCormick should speak openly and fully about his knowledge of the affairs of the renewable heat incentive scandal is the Public Accounts Committee. And if that does not happen, Stephen, then the integrity of the institutions is even further undermined, because a Public Accounts Committee is part of a democracy, not just here, but Westminster and all these other democracies in Western Europe. We have to be able, and the public must understand, that we are able to investigate ourselves. That's the primary investigation. I agree with everybody else who says, because of where we have come to this scandal, we do need a judge-led independent inquiry. I'm happy it's under the 2005 Act.
Okay, I want to bring John O'Dowd in because I know he has to go. John, given what we've revealed today, might it actually help start to repair your relationship with the DUP if you at least glean some information from the Public Accounts Committee as to what the independent civil servant believes went on in the summer and subsequent months of 2015?
Even the current institutions are gone. They're wrapping up next week. The institutions, the trust is gone. We have to move on from where we currently are. The electorate, it's now over to the electorate. The people are going to have their say. No political institution anywhere operating under a democratic framework could survive or would have survived what has happened over this last 6 to 8 weeks. It would have been impossible to continue with the drip feed of information coming forward about potential financial corruption at the heart of government. Simply impossible. The institutions are gone. It's over to the electorate. The electorate will have their say, and we will try to establish a working institution after the election, but they'll have to be established on the basis of trust, on the basis of agreements that have been in place, and a reassurance beyond any doubt that we're moving forward based on equality, respect and mutual understanding on the way forward.
And what is your reaction to what Edwin Poots told the Nolan Show yesterday, insofar as the DUP never agreed to implement an Irish Language Act, which is in the St Andrews Agreement, but he's now arguing that it's in an annex of the St Andrews Agreement. He said yesterday it was slipped in by Tony Blair and the DUP never agreed to it.
Well, Stephen, as you're already aware, I stepped out of a constituency event, meeting to do your interview. This subject was well debated yesterday. It will be well debated in the future moving forward. If the DUP don't know what agreements they're signing up to, then it doesn't bode well for the future. But as I say, I have to go on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Sam McBride, obviously part of this conversation has been driven by what we understand is happening this afternoon. All eyes will now be on that Public Accounts Committee and Robin Swan or someone else in that committee asking Dr. McCormick what he knew.
That's right. And the name of the spad may emerge there, it may not. I think he'll certainly be under pressure to divulge that at that point. I think one other aspect of this, which is probably a little bit more uncomfortable for Dr. McCormick, which he'll also probably be pressed on, is why he didn't ask if he felt there was any sort of external influence being brought to bear here and public money was at stake, which it clearly now was. Why did he not ask for a formal ministerial direction, a formal order from the minister to say, you must do this? That's something which Dr. McCormick addressed in an email to the head of the civil service just almost a year ago. That was released after your interview with Jonathan Bell. It was released as part of this drip feed of information, I suppose, from Simon Hamilton's department. And he said really at that point that with hindsight, I might have sought a ministerial direction at an earlier stage. So I think he now accepts that he probably should have done that. It'll be interesting to see what he says as to who was putting any sort of influence on the department at that point and why he didn't move to press what for him was a nuclear button of saying, I can't stand over this, you must order me to do this.
The DUP in a statement, again to be fair to them, they haven't had much time, but they've referred us to a clip. Let's hear this clip.
The former Deputy Minister claims that he made a decision to amend the RHI scheme, but that he was overruled by special advisers. Since last week, I have specifically investigated this claim. The evidence is clear. The only decision taken by the Minister was in early September to amend the scheme in November. The Minister was not subsequently overruled by special advisers, and I am clear that whatever representations may have been made by anyone on this issue, it was not being done with the authority of the party. Now, I understand from Minister Hamilton that the Permanent Secretary recalls being told at the time that some in the party wanted the scheme kept open. He was unaware of the source of this suggestion, but believes it may have been based on the erroneous but widespread view at the time that because the scheme was AMI-funded, that it was possible to maximise take-up without creating a problem.
Right. So we've already played some of that, but that's what the DUP have asked us to play on their behalf. So that's what we have done.